Dearly beloved in Christ, in today's gospel, we see that our Lord calls out those who are too attached to worldly possessions and also those who are too concerned with the goods of the material world. Our Lord said, "No man can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or he will sustain the one and despise the other." And then he adds, "You cannot serve God and mammon," that is money. Money is a necessary evil, is a necessary evil, as it were, in society. Our Lord told us to render to Caesar the things that belong to Caesar, and to God those things which belong to God. And he said, "Look at whose image is on the coin of tribute." And they had to answer, "Caesar's image is on the coin of tribute, of course." And thus he showed them that his kingdom was not of this world. Many times our Lord warns us throughout Scripture that we must beware of what he calls mammon. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven. Jesus came down on earth and was born in a stable without so much as a cradle to call his own. And when he died, he was bereft of even his clothing. We also have the story of the rich young man who went away sad because he would not give up his possessions. He wanted to join our Lord's company and to strive for perfection. But Jesus told him if he would be perfect, he must first sell all he had and give it to the poor. And the young man turned and walked away with grief because he had so many riches. It is primarily because of this phrase that Jesus spoke to the rich young man, that we as religious have a vow of poverty. For centuries to come after these words of our Lord, monks and hermits and religious would give up all they had and turn away from the world to embrace their life of poverty. And did they die from poverty? No, God sustained them. Saint Benedict had a crow bring him scraps of bread, for one example. Our material belongings weigh us down to earth. And we must look at earthly possessions in this light, or they will clutch to us and we will become attached to them. But our Lord also said, "Therefore I say to you, be not solicitous for your life, what you shall eat, nor for your body, what you shall wear." Especially in our day and age, we worry a great deal about what we are going to do to provide for ourselves. And of course, we must work hard to sustain ourselves, primarily by earning money. And Jesus does not disregard the nobility of the working man who labors hard to support himself and his family. Saint Joseph was a very hard worker and the patron of workers. But he is rebuking the lack of faith in those who worry so much about their daily intrigues and pursuits that they forget that they have an almighty and loving Father looking down upon them. "Behold, the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are not you of much more value than they?" And further down the passage, our Lord says exactly this point. He says, "O ye of little faith, be not solicitous, therefore, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For your Father knows that you need these things." And then Jesus goes on to say that we must seek first the salvation of our souls, and God will take care of us. There is another, perhaps less known, parable that our Lord gave us in the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 16 to 21. The land of a certain rich man brought forth plenty of fruits, and he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?" And he said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns, and I will build a greater, and into them will I gather all things that are grown to me and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy rest, eat and drink, and make good cheer." But God said to him, "Thou fool, this night do they require thy soul of thee. And whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. The picture of a rich and covetous man is portrayed to us in this parable. He is miserable because his life is passed in always trying to decide what he shall do next to secure his riches. He calculates and he schemes. His entire life is consumed with money. And almost ironically, as wealth increases, so does worry and anxiety. He is a victim of what our Lord warned us about in the gospel today. You cannot serve both God and mammon. This is the story of a man who was, by all worldly prospects, a prosperous and satisfied man, but he could not see the peril of his situation, that he had not stored up riches in heaven. And then in the end, after all that, the man died. This night do they require thy soul of thee. And what had been the purpose of it all? Personal aggrandizement? All those worldly riches have to stay here. No, they can't go with us into heaven for eternity. And the parable ends by saying, thus dies the rich man who labors for earthly gain and not for the riches of heaven. The thing to beware of is the attachment to the actual goods themselves. No matter what it may be, your couch, your chair, your phone, or your TV, if you are attached to it, you have added it to your worldly stash in your heart. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Now, whether here or in heaven with God. There was a story I remember from my time as a novice in which a religious gave up all his possessions and lived a very strict life with regards to poverty, except for a very few things that he needed. But he was very attached to these possessions, and he rebuked others for having more decadent furnishings. But one day he came to realize that they practiced poverty better than he, because they had many things, but they were not attached to them. He had almost nothing, but was very attached to what little he did have. Now we know what Scripture tells us about worldly riches. And there are many examples, as we know. But how do we combat this attachment of the heart to material goods? First, we have to define what the sin of avarice is. It is one of the capital sins. Avarice is the inordinate love of earthly goods, the word inordinate being key here, so that we can distinguish what is right use of money and what is the wrong use of money. Tanqueray says the purpose for having money should be twofold. The right use of money is for our temporal needs of body and soul, to preserve our life and the life of those dependent upon us, and to procure the means of cultivating our mind and developing our faculties. Secondarily, it is also used correctly when we give aid to those in need and when we help others with earthly goods. These are the purposes for having and procuring money, and we are even obliged in charity and justice to do so. But we offend God by the sin of avarice when we place our trust in money as though God did not even exist. Love of money is a sign of mistrust in God, who watches over us with the loving care of a father, and who will provide us with the things we need if we trust in him. So it is really detachment from the things of the world that we must strive for. We must be in this world, but we must not be of this world. Seek ye therefore first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these things shall be added unto you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.